Genesis chapter 40, starting in verse 1, let us hear God's word. Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense their lord the king against the lord their king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. And one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were with him in custody in his master's house, Why is your face downcast today? They said to him, we have had dreams, and there was no one to interpret them. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me. So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Then Joseph said to him, this is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, I also had a dream. There were 3 cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. On the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all of his servants and lifted up the head of the chief baker and the head of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker just as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we read this story about the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each of our hearts and lives today. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There was a time when men were kind. Their voices were soft and their words inviting. There was a time when love was blind. The song and the world was a song, and the song was exciting. There was a time. And then it all went wrong. I dreamed a dream in time gone by, when hope was high and life worth living. I dreamed that love would never die. I dreamed that God would be forgiving. Then I was young and unafraid, and dreams were made and used and wasted. There was no ransom to be paid, no song unsung, no wine untasted. But the tigers come at night with their voices soft as thunder, as they tear your hope apart and turn your dreams to shame. I had a dream my life would be so different from the hell I'm living, so different now from what it seemed. Now life has killed the dream I dreamed. I Dreamed a Dream is perhaps the most famous song from the legendary musical Les Miserables. The song of lament is sung by a single mother named Fantine after she is unjustly fired from her job at a factory, and she's forced to cut and sell her hair, sell her two front teeth, and then finally her body in a life of prostitution. The haunting lyrics harken back to happier days before everything in her life went wrong. But horrendous circumstances turned her hopeful dreams into a horrific nightmare. Anyone who's ever experienced a shattered dream can sympathize with the words of this song. When we're young, most of us envision a life full of love and happiness, a loving marriage, a happy family, faithful friends, meaningful work, and a vast array of fulfilling adventures. But like Fantine, many of us have already discovered that sometimes dreams are just that, dreams. They never materialize, or at least not in the way that we hoped or expected. Life is indeed full of disappointments. Some marriages don't make it. Some families fall apart. Some friends betray us. Some people hate their jobs. And for some people, even the pursuit of adventure gets reduced to just trying to survive another day. Have you ever experienced a broken expectation that left you feeling hopeless? Have you ever endured a shattered dream that thrust you into the pit of desperation or despair? When I think about Joseph's life, it's not difficult to imagine him singing a song like I Dreamed a Dream. Back when he was a bright-eyed teenager, he literally had two dreams that he would one day rise up and rule over all of his family members. But then his brothers dashed his dreams as they stripped his multicolored robe off his back and sold him into slavery in Egypt. And any hope that Joseph may have regained when he became the CEO of Potiphar's penthouse quickly vanished when he was the object of false accusations by Potiphar's wife. And even though the Lord gave him favor with the prison warden, he was still paying the price for a crime that he did not commit. Can't you just see Joseph sitting in prison? Can't you hear him sing, "I had a dream my life would be so different from the hell I'm living, so different now from what it seemed, now life has killed the dream I dreamed"? But as it usually does, life for Joseph got better, and then worse again. As the years went by, it happened that Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker offended him, and he threw them into prison. They were placed in the custody of the same prison warden as that of Joseph. The cupbearer was responsible for testing the king's wine to make sure that it wasn't poisoned. The chief baker was responsible for preparing food for the king's table. And because both of these men had such close access to Pharaoh, they both held high and prominent positions in the royal court. Now, we don't know what the cupbearer or the baker did to offend the king. It's left to our imaginations. Maybe the cupbearer spilled some wine on Pharaoh's royal robe. Maybe he was helping himself to the king's wine cellar when no one else was looking. Could be. Maybe the cupbearer served Chardonnay with the king's prime rib rather than a deep ruby red Cabernet, which would indeed have been an egregious sin. Maybe the baker burned Pharaoh's breakfast biscuits. Maybe he didn't put enough honey in the honey buns. Don't ever skimp on the honey. That's an egregious sin just as much as anything else. But whatever they did, they wound up in prison, and the prison warden passed them off into Joseph's custody. And like most prisoners, I imagine that they recounted the intricacies of injustice that led to their incarceration. They all shared the similar experience of having high positions and then being demoted and dismissed. And I'm sure they all dreamed a dream of a better life if they could just get out of this dungeon. And ironically, on the same exact night, these figurative dreams turned into literal dreams for the cupbearer and the baker. And when they awoke in the morning, they were puzzled by the strange dreams that they had while they were asleep. Now, let me just ask you, have you ever had a strange dream before? One of those dreams where either you woke up in the middle of the night or maybe in the morning, and you think to yourself, where in the world did that come from? How did that combination of people, places, and events form in my mind? Has that ever happened to you? It happened to me 2 nights ago. Yesterday morning, I woke up, and it was so real, so vivid, one of those dreams, right? And I thought, I'm laying in bed thinking, I've been thinking about dreams all week, preparing this sermon, and lo and behold, there it was. This is what happened. I was in Shanghai, China, of all places, and I was at an amusement park, and somehow I got separated from my group. Now, I've never been to an amusement park in Shanghai before, but there I was. And I was trying to get to my group on the other side of the park, and I had to take a train to get there. Now, how ridiculous is that? I got on the train, and I was about to board, and there was a guard, a policeman. And he said, do you have your ticket? And I said, yeah, sure, right here. And then he said, do you have your passport? And I'm thinking, why do I need a passport to get on a train at an amusement park? And I began to panic because I didn't have my passport with me. And I thought, oh no, I'm going to get locked up in some Chinese prison. I'm going to be separated from my group. I'm not going to be able to get home. And I could feel the anxiety. And I said, well, I have my driver's license. And he kind of gave me a smug look and said, well, let me see it. And he took it and looked at it. And I remember handing my Vermont driver's license to the Chinese guard. And he just stared at it. And then finally he looked up at me and said, so, you're from Vermont, huh? And I thought, I was amazed that he even knew where Vermont was. And then he asked me this. He said, have you ever skied at Bromont in Quebec? And I thought, yes, I have. And I was just thrilled that he was familiar with some of the places that I was. And I was thinking, he's going to be favorable to me and let me go. And then, boom, I woke up and thought, how in the world did that all come together in my mind? But has that ever happened to you? I bet it has, and we could all share some stories about it. Have you ever wondered what your dreams mean? Have you ever had a strange dream come true? Throughout the millennia, everyone from ancient mystics to modern psychologists have tried to unlock the mystery of dreams, but few have succeeded. Even Sigmund Freud's classic book, The Interpretation of Dreams, raises more questions than it does answers. When Joseph saw the cupbearer and the baker in the morning, he knew that something was wrong. And they told him that they dreamed a dream in the night, and now they were disappointed because there was no one to help them interpret the dreams. But little did they know that they were in the presence of a fellow dreamer, and one who possessed the God-given ability to interpret dreams. When Joseph invited them to share their dreams with him, the cupbearer went first. Now, he described a grapevine that broke into 3 separate branches. Each branch then blossomed into bountiful clusters of ripe grapes. And there he was. He pressed the grapes into Pharaoh's cup and placed them in the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Joseph smiled as he shared the good news. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift your head and restore you to your position. As they rejoiced at this interpretation, Joseph asked the cupbearer to remember him when he was restored to Pharaoh's palace and advocate for him because he was falsely imprisoned. That seems fair, doesn't it? Here's the interpretation of your dream. It's good news. Would you just do me one favor for an old jailbird buddy? When you get out, can you plead my case for me? It's not too much to ask, is it? Well, the baker's heart rose with excitement when he heard the cupbearer's good news. Perhaps he thought the dream he dreamed would have a similar restoration. He explained to Joseph that he dreamed of three cake baskets stacked upon his head. And the uppermost basket was filled with cakes and crumpets and all sorts of baked goods for Pharaoh. But the birds were eating the bread out of the basket. Joseph grimaced as he delivered the bad news. He said that the three baskets also represented 3 days. And in 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you, and you will hang on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh. I don't think this was the interpretation that the baker was hoping for. How would you have reacted if Joseph had interpreted your dream like this? Disbelief? Disappointment? Despondency? Take a look at your bulletin cover, the piece of art that's on there. This is a painting called Joseph Interpreting Dreams of Pharaoh's Cupbearer and Baker by Abel de Pujol. There's Joseph on the right, hand in the air. You notice how the light is on him, signifying his divine ability to interpret the dreams. The cupbearer with the blue turban on his head and the red robe around him, sort of rejoicing in contentment at the good news that he would be restored to his position. And there's the baker, the one before us, with his hand pushed out, almost as if he's rejecting Joseph's interpretation. I don't want to hear it. I don't believe it. What credibility did Joseph have to interpret dreams anyway? Well, 3 days later, everything came to pass just as Joseph had predicted. And it happened to be Pharaoh's birthday, and he decided to throw himself a big birthday bash with food and wine for all of his servants. And sure enough, during the party, he restored the cupbearer to his position, but he relieved the baker from his. Pharaoh lifted up the cupbearer's head, and he lifted off the baker's head. But just as one wakes in the morning and forgets the dream from the night before, once the cupbearer was eventually restored to his position with Pharaoh, he forgot about Joseph's request to plead his case. Joseph's dream of getting out of prison was shattered, and his suffering was compounded by another disappointment in his life. Just like Joseph and the baker in this story, and like Fantine from Les Miserables, we all deal with shattered dreams throughout our lives. Maybe you fell in love with a boy, but then he didn't love you back. Maybe you thought you were going to marry that girl, but then she broke off the relationship. Maybe you thought your marriage would last forever, but sin shattered it long before the shadow of death fell. Maybe you had your sights set on attending a certain college, but then you didn't get accepted. Maybe you had picked out the perfect career path, only to later realize that you don't like what you're doing. Maybe you thought you were the best candidate for a promotion, but then you got passed over by someone else. Maybe you wanted to have a family right away, but then you incurred unexpected fertility problems. Maybe you wanted to wait to have children, but all of a sudden an unplanned pregnancy popped into your future. Maybe you had plans to take a long-awaited vacation to some tropical island paradise, but then a global pandemic rounded all of your plans, and now you're just excited to go to the grocery store once a week. Maybe you prayed for God to deliver a loved one from a disease, and then they died anyway. Yes, disappointment is an unavoidable part of living in a broken world. But how does disappointment shape our faith? When we experience mistreatment or abuse, it could cause us to question God's goodness. When we endure injustice, it could cause us to doubt God's justice. When we face unfaithfulness in a relationship, it could cause us to distrust God's faithfulness. When someone abandons us, sometimes we feel like God has abandoned us. And when we suffer, sometimes we wonder about God's power or his love. Why, God? Or as the psalmist said in our call to worship from Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, how long will you hide your face from me? But like Joseph, we must remember that shattered dreams are a part of God's providence. Just as God used the disappointments of being sold into slavery by his brothers, being falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and now being forgotten by the cupbearer, God uses disappointments to test our faith, to strip our pride, to forge our character, and to prepare us to accomplish his ultimate purpose for our lives. Sometimes God closes prison doors to open palace doors, which is exactly what he's going to do with Joseph as the story continues. But in the meantime, we must remain faithful to God, even when we don't know what the future holds. As I look back over my own life, I can see how God's providence has guided me through many disappointments and shattered dreams. I remember how disappointed I was when I didn't have the finances or family support to go to college right after high school. All my friends heading off to school somewhere. And I'll never forget that day standing in my driveway talking to my grandfather, who really acted as my father. And he said, "So you want to go to college, do you?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, good luck with that. Don't expect any help from me." And I remember the disappointment. I can still feel it 25 years later. But little did I know that a year of full-time hard employment made me a much better student when I got to college. And I appreciate the education I received much more than I would have otherwise. I remember the disappointment I experienced when the girl that I thought I was going to marry told me that she was interested in someone else and broke off the relationship. Whew, that one hurt. But little did I know that a year or so later, God would bring Jennifer into my life, and man, am I glad I didn't marry that other girl. I didn't know it at the time. I remember the disappointment I experienced when I didn't get accepted into the doctoral program at Gordon-Conwell Seminary in Boston. But then the Lord opened the door for me to receive a more diverse education at Beeson Divinity School in Birmingham. And if that hadn't worked out the way it would, we wouldn't have the wonderful partnership that we have with Beeson Divinity School in our church here in Vermont even today. And these are only some of the hundreds of disappointments that God has used to bring me to where I am today. But here's my question. How about you? I just want you to take a minute and think back over your life, maybe from your childhood, your teen years, early adulthood. Think about some disappointments that you've experienced along the way. Maybe some pain that still lingers. And I just want to ask you, can you see God's providence working in and through the disappointments? Things didn't work out perhaps the way we thought they would, but here we are. Can you see how God has used the disappointments and shattered dreams in your life? And if you happen to be suffering in some pit of disappointment or prison of shattered dreams right now, don't lose hope. Trust in God's plan. put your faith in His providence. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word, for this story of Joseph, and even the pain and disappointment, the shattered dreams that he experienced. Lord, he has already dealt with so much, being at the top of his family and being at the bottom of the pit, being sold into slavery, abandoned by his brothers, only to become a slave in Egypt and work his way up to the top once again, only to be falsely accused and put in prison. And now, as we've seen today, Lord, he had one shot, one hope of getting out of prison if the cupbearer remembered him. But as the text said, he forgot. And as Joseph continued to live in disappointment, as he continued to live with shattered dreams, we thank you for your presence that was with him to sustain him. And we thank you for your providence that was about to use all of these experiences to put him into the place that you wanted him to be, that he might be used for good to save millions of people from a famine. Lord, none of us knows the future, and sometimes we wonder why we're disappointed. We wonder why we suffer the way we do. Sometimes it certainly doesn't seem fair, and it's not pleasant. But Lord, help us to realize, as certainly Joseph must have, that your providence is always working, even when we don't see it. And so, Lord, guide our lives. Bring us good and use us to bring good to others. For we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As we continue to reflect on this story of Joseph's life and the dreams that were shattered here, like I said earlier, we're not going to have communion this morning, but I would like us to just spend a few moments in quiet reflection, perhaps repentance. Maybe you have further reflection on the story that we've just encountered this morning. Maybe there's other things going on in your lives, but let's take a few moments in silent prayer and lay our souls open before the Lord. Let us pray.